Okay, would you stand with me for a moment, just change your position, and just rejoice in a minute and just thank the Lord and praise Him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. What are you expecting tonight out of the Word? All right, this is our message. There are times when I have to resist the devil. Say that with me. There are times when I have to resist the devil. All right, that's it. How'd that go? Pretty good. That was it. Hey, I'm done. I mean, there are times when I have to say no. Okay, so you may be seated. Pastor Jason, you want to come down front? Pastor, come on down. Do we have a microphone? No microphone? Okay, give it to him. All right, he was in Frederick, Maryland, and a demonized person confronted him and said, "Go back home." Okay, go ahead, tell him. No, right down there.
Okay. Yeah, good evening, by the way. We had a great time in Frederick. This was actually a few weeks ago. I was telling Pastor that we were doing some soul winning, and it's always amazing when you just initiate life. And we met a woman that just as we started, actually Pastor Dennis was with me as well, and we just started to share the gospel, and it was definitely a demonic encounter because she got really strange. Just, you know how your spirit just starts to, all your antennas go up, you know? So she started saying some really weird things. And so, you know, we just began to present the gospel. And I kept mentioning the word Jesus to her. And she kept backing up every time I mentioned that word Jesus. But she just said, halfway through the conversation, she said, "You know what? I'm here to scare you to go back home." She goes, we don't want you in Frederick. It's like a demonic confrontation. And I said, "Well, we're not scared, but you can leave." So anyway, it was incredible. It was actually kind of like one of those things where you don't know what's going to happen until you're in it. But the Holy Spirit just resisted her. And she left. And then afterwards, I think Jesse Fires and others had a great sketchboard and preaching. The atmosphere totally changed. And we had authority in that whole area that for the rest of the day. So
yeah,
it was amazing. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Turn to 2 Samuel 23. I think in the days that we are living, the Spirit wants to teach us that we must... like receive from Christ and be filled with the Spirit and take a stand. And on many levels, there's a need for us to stand and be used by God. When Joseph was in Egypt and he was put in prison and he interpreted two dreams, one, the man died, he was hanged, he was the cook or the baker. The butler was free, and he forgot about Joseph. And then Pharaoh had a dream, and the butler said, "I know a Jew, I know somebody who can interpret your dream." When they called Joseph, he shaved, and he changed his clothes, and he came before the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh said, "Can you interpret my dream?" And Joseph said this. He said, "It is not in me. It is not in me. But God can interpret your dream." I like that because I think many times in my life, I don't think I can do this, or I don't have the right idea, or I don't know how to answer this question or solve this relationship problem that I have with another brother or sister, but it's not in me, but I know God can do that. This is a great way of thinking. I think that a musician, a mathematician, an engineer, a medical doctor, a researcher, an accountant, a business manager, a nurse, a teacher, a homeless person, somebody without, who's had fallen on bad times, I believe that it's not in me, but I believe God is able to give it to me. That God is able to speak to me and build me up in my faith, and this is something that I stand in. I believe this. It happened to Moses when he went back to, when he was told to go to Egypt, like he didn't really want to go. He was a refugee. He what's the word? A fugitive of justice, a fugitive away from Egypt. God sent him back. It was not in Moses in this sense. God gave it to him. God gave him a ministry. God gave him a word. God gave him the courage. God gave him the desire. God gave him the faith. God gave him the friends. He, his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, God gave to him. God delivered the Jews out of Egypt, and it was really by a man, Moses, that was able to stand. And you and I are those kind of people in this hour that we are living. And we have to say, it's not in me, but God can do this for me. Honestly, it's God that does this for you and me. It's really, real. So in this portion, 2 Samuel 23, verse 11, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agee. By the way, pray for Israel. As we see, they are being, bombarded by missiles from the Hamas, and there's Banu Ramona that are very precious to us and others in the country. And pray for Israel and the peace of Israel. And pray for God to work and do his work in what he wants to do. The Jews have been under attack many times through their history, and individually. And we see that with Daniel, we see it with Joseph, we see it through history. And now we are also in this because we are covenant people. And as I said, beauty and bands is what pastors us and leads us in our purpose to live here in America at this time and to have a stand, have an opinion, have a conviction. It comes from outside of us to our spirit and mind, and we all need that. This is an example in verse 11. After him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. So where does the standing come from? Resisting the devil. That story by Pastor Jason was interesting to me because when we were in Cincinnati, something similar happened with one of our little teams that we sent out soul winning and knocked on this door of this man who might have been high on drugs, but he was supernaturally charged. He was charged, whether it was by drugs or the devil, but he was very aggressive, very belligerent and threatening. So it was that's a radical example. But I like the things that we are seeing in our society when people in academia stand up to a lie, when people in politics stand up to a lie, when people on the street stand up to a lie, when you're able to discern the difference and be able to say, this is where I stand and this is what I believe. So how does it happen? beauty in bands. Beauty. Have you seen a beautiful family? A mom and dad. A dad caring for his kids. The kids responding. Maybe they don't like it, but they respond to the instruction and they abide and they grow and they learn and they have a reference for their own life in the future. It is beautiful. The bands in a family, when a family finds, you know, it's valuable to be drawn to the church. For in the church, mom and dad worship God, and maybe I do too. I am following in that path. That's what God told the Jews in Deuteronomy 11, chapter 10, chapter 6, to teach the children, guide them in the way that they should go. Where do we stand when it comes to, let's say, church life? Where do I stand regarding family life, my friendships, and mission? Where do we stand? And we cannot help but reflect on the Apostle Paul and say that he is all about teaching the church how the church is in these days, like now. We are like Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, but you know my manner of life. You know my doctrine. You know my persecutions. You know how I have lived, and I want you to be drawn to that and know that from a child you have known the scripture, and that the scripture has not come by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that it is God-breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. This is where we stand. But it isn't hard because it's beautiful. It isn't a hard, cold religion. It's a warm family of interaction with love and faith and joy and peace. And it seems that the world is like aggressively after the Christianity that we know of through the last two millennium. That they do not like our boundaries. They do not like our borders. They don't like our lines of inheritance in Psalm 16. They don't like our convictions. They don't like when we say something is right and something is wrong. And they don't like the accountability and the responsibility. But we do, because it's beautiful. We are attracted to it. I want the accountability. I want the responsibility. I think the way the world is saying, no responsibility, no accountability, just take care of my feelings and understand me. And I like this other message, which is, wake up. God said to Job, stand up on your feet. I am talking to you in Job 38 in verse 2. I like it when we are called to accountability. We will one day at the judgment, and we are called to accountability. And why don't we face that today and say, here I am, Lord. Like Abraham said, here I am. Noah said it. Samuel said it. Here I am. Let us say it with an open heart to our Heavenly Father and say, here I am. And then Job said, I know that when I would meet him, he would not argue with me, but he would put his strength in me. What an amazing verse. We got to look at it. And we're going to finish in a few minutes here. But I think it's a great Job. Is it 23? Oh, no, I hope I... Yeah. Okay, got it. 23:5-6. I would know the words which he would answer me. This chapter is about Job wanting to meet God. I want to meet God. I want to talk to him. I am suffering so much. I'm hurt so much. I want him to give answers to me. I will know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. Do you hear that? I gotta make it clear. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. What does it mean? He is beautiful. He will not crush me. He will love me. He will uphold me. Would he be a tyrant and say you are wrong and crush me with his great power? No. He wouldn't do that. No, not my God. He is not a tyrant. He's not a hard man. He's not a judge. In that sense, he is one day. But in this life, how does he reach people? On the cross. Not his great power to crush you, but his great power to love you, lay down his life, and be humble. And Job said it this way. He said, would he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. How do you stand? By being loved. How do you stand? By the truth speaking to your heart. I think the world is a great ripoff. It's like you don't have any responsibility. Whatever reality you have, you can live in. That's your call. That's your rights. You live your life, your way, and it's all about you. It's a great ripoff. It's a lie. It's like, I am God. I made you in my image. Come to me. I will love you. I will put my strength in you. I will show you something beautiful, and you will have bonds with me. You'll be attached to me. You will be my son and my daughter. You'll be my children. You'll be my servant. I will anoint you with fresh oil. I will wash your feet. I will die on the cross. I will take your sin away. I will shed my blood. I will put my spirit in you. I will bless you, and you will stand in that reality. That's where it is. And when the Philistines come in to take the ground, I'm not leaving. Yes. I'm not leaving. This is where God put me. This is God's ground. This is, I'm not leaving Frederick. You know what I mean? I'm not leaving the United States. I'm not leaving the city of Baltimore. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. This is where we stand. God will lead us, order our steps. God is our God. We don't live as normal, average people live. We have God as our God, and he will uphold us, and we are drawn by something beautiful and something that grabs a hold of our hearts and fills us and satisfies us. And that's why we stand. Are you standing because you're belligerent, rebellious people? No. We just don't agree. We are standing here, and we are Americans. We have our freedom. We have our rights to our religion. We have our convictions. This is my life. The government is not telling me how to worship God. The government is not telling me how to meet and when to meet and where to meet. The government is not in control of my children or my lifestyle. And maybe they want to be, but the government is not the primary issue in any of our lives. Here is where we stand. And when Martin Luther King made that great statement, he said, here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. He was before the most powerful religious system in the world, the Catholic Church. And he was called to account for his heresy, quote unquote, his teaching. And when he first went to the Diet of Worms, this was in Germany, this place where he was called to be accountable. And the first day he fainted, he was under so much stress. And then the second day he said it, he said, I cannot take back any of my teaching. These are my words, but I'll get to his part in a second. I cannot recant. I cannot take back any of my teaching. This is what I believe. And he said, here I stand. And he would have been killed except the prince with the castle hijacked him and kidnapped him and brought him to the safety of his castle where he lived and translated the Bible into the German language. And that translation, by the way, stands today. And he did that over 9 months or whatever it was. So I like the point that our church is filled with historical references to people that just said, beauty has caught me. The bands are real. I am not afraid. This is where I stand. This is what I believe in. And I'm not trying to dramatize or speak in any heroic terms. I'm only to try to say to each and every one of us, you better get some conviction in your heart regarding what you believe. Because the church is under attack. And if we don't have a biblical orientation, and we don't have some fire in our belly, and some oil on our head, and some spiritual vitality in our heart, if we slide into sentimentality, or compromise, or we are afraid of the people, or afraid of what would happen, then we are selling out with a great honor and blessing and privilege of being spirit-filled, Bible-believing, salt of the earth, gospel-carrying preachers and teachers and comforters and encouragers and counselors, where because the world is choking on the lies, the propaganda, the lies that are everywhere. They are choking. It is not a good deal. I'd rather be with Job and say, I would come before God, but he wouldn't crush me. He would not crush me. He would put his strength in me, and I could answer him. And that's a beautiful picture of what has happened to us. He has put it in us. Joseph said, they said, could you interpret the dream? It is not in me. I don't have that ability. I don't have that talent. I cannot do this, but I know who can. That's God, and he can, and he did. And Joseph was highly promoted. So, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we came for a morsel of heavenly food tonight. We got it out of Job 23, out of 2 Samuel 23:11. Out of Zechariah 11:7, we've gotten it from the precepts of your word in our hearts and the history of the church that would not, bow or cave or compromise in an evil age. This age is no different from any other, except perhaps it is more wicked. You have many more people on the earth. Many lies, much propaganda, propagation of information without Christ, without God, without the hunger for God. We are in trouble, but not us, by your grace. Nurture us in the traditions of our faith. Nurture us in the Holy Communion. Water baptism, nurture us in rap sessions, in fellowship, in singing, in songs, in love, in forgiveness, in close friendship, without familiarity and without violating privacy, but spiritual connection. Lord, and anyone listening tonight, if you've not come to Christ in your life, if you've not come to him by faith, come tonight and say to Jesus Christ, I need you. Raise your hand in the auditorium if you're saying that prayer, anyone at all. Yes, to Jesus. Pastor Liam McHale is there, the usher of ushers, who will give you a book and a word of encouragement. Anyone at all, raise your hand. Amen.